Tough Love with Mick Molloy and Robin Butler. Weekdays from midday on Triple M.
No Robin Butler today.
There must be one hell of a hangover.
She's still hangover. We went to Sydney 2 days ago. Never drink with the Molloy boys. That's the rules. So we found a couple of interlopers out in the corridor. A make that brains the team behind the 100th show of Get This. They were leaving. Well, I've sent up a flare. They've all agreed to come on and help. It's Tony Martin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. And Greg Fleet, of course.
Thank you very much.
And Ed Cavalli, who's losing his chariot midday.
First time on.
A midday version. Strap yourself in. That was a fantastic hour today.
I still feel terrible making you come in that early, though, Mick.
It was rude. I was in my gym jams, you know.
But they did have some cheap champagne and alcoholic fruit platters for us.
That was fantastic. I noticed the Working Dog guys, long-time friends of both of us, sent in a platter. And that basically consisted of everything you and I don't eat.
A large amount of fruit.
Fruit, which we sent to forensic. I said, what's this? They go, that's a dried fig.
I've never seen one before.
I smell the hand of Chilaro.
They've decided to get us pissed because then knowing we'd have to come on your show.
That's it.
With our pants around our ankles.
You have indeed. I don't know what's happened to Robin Butler. I have a feeling, if anyone listened to our show from Sydney on Wednesday, she started feeling cook immediately after this exchange.
There's going to be a porn star parade on motorcycles in Auckland.
That's combining just about all my favourite things.
I know. Yeah.
Porn star parade on bikes through Auckland. What's this in honour of?
It's an erotica festival.
I thought they must be burying another Mary Queen. No, this is how it's done these days, is it?
Boobs on bikes.
It's called Boobs on Bikes.
Why aren't we in Auckland?
Well, he could be coming from there next week. Mm. Is Laurie Oakes involved?
Yes, he is. He's got a sidecar.
He's up the front.
He's got...
Better be careful which way the wind's blowing or he'll knock himself out. Boogada, 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 boogada.
Well, do you know what kind of bikes they'll be riding, don't you?
No.
They're going to be riding 250cc cups. Now, Rosie? Did you play it? I can't hear it.
She played it. It was good. Hey, can I sit where you are? Then I won't be able to hear anything.
Because her headphones weren't working. Now, she's done the 500cc cup and taken a turn.
I reckon she sounded slightly gone there.
She was. She was under the pump.
Yes.
And, hello, this happens occasionally. Is that Wayne on the phone, is it?
Mick.
Hello, Wayne. This, of course, is Robin's husband, for anyone listening. Ooh. How are you, Wayne?
What have you done?
I have no idea. We only had a couple of drinks. I did slip something in it.
Yeah, well, this woman arrives in a maxi cab because she had to be laying down, apparently, from the airport to here.
Yes.
She's staring bemused at the children.
Yeah.
Doesn't know their name.
It is Robin, isn't it? Let's just say we had a couple after the show. Things got a little loosey-goosey. And around about 3 in the morning, when I was strung up to the roof like Richard Harris in A Man Called Horse, she said, I got to go. This is getting a little wild.
And so Wayne can clean up the mess.
What is she doing as we speak?
She's in the corner naked, just rolling around a large ball of fluff.
That's what she was doing in Sydney.
That's the same thing.
That's normal show preparation.
That's what she said.
If it was on a motorbike, it'd be happening in Auckland.
Is there anything we can do to help?
Look, send some of that fruit platter that's left over, and we'll see if we can incorporate that in the recovery program.
We will. In the meantime, can you tend to her like a kind of reverse English patient?
I will. I'm strapping on my nurse's outfit as we speak.
Hello.
All right.
Well, I might be around a little later then. Thanks for the call, Wayne. Of course, it's always she leaves a gaping hole in the landscape when she's not here. But you boys, I'm sure, could fill it. That was a fantastic show today. Is that what happens every... I have to be honest, I'm still in bed at 10.
I think, is that what normal... There's normally that, but with a lot more references to Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
For some reason.
That's pretty much the show.
I was particularly impressed by Fleety's rap, which was in honour of the 100th show. Is this a regular part of the Get This?
It took, I think it did about 6 minutes to write yesterday. So it's a lot of preparation, a lot of focus.
Really. And it covers a lot of the, you know, boiling issues that we deal with on the show every day.
Do you mind if I give it a run?
Do it.
I mean, look, I know, Ed, you're a fan of K-Fed.
Massive. Is that right? Papa Zhao and Australia's Most Hated. I'm down.
Ed Cavalier, a huge fan of K-Fed. Forget him. You should marry a rich American woman immediately and go to the Top of the Pops. Here is Fleety with the 100 Show Wrap.
Yo, this is going out to Tony and Ed and the Get This Crew. Check it out. I'm Greg Fleet. I'm MCG. That's F to the L to the E-E-T. If comedy was Dutch, then I'd be from Holland. Spread the comic pollen like a B-L-O-G blog. I'm a cog in the wheel. You got bubkus? How do you think that I feel? It's a war called the cavalry. To the right sits my main man, Ed Cavalier. He'll freak you out because he's young. You're a wowser, but underneath, it's my belief. You'll get relief at his bowser. It's fortuitous. His next bit is gratuitous. Tony stacks gherkins. He makes a pickle stack. Loves a tower of condiments, but don't love Nickelback. As I get to the end of his stanza, Tony Martin is the boss. He's not like Hoss in Bonanza, more like Tony Danza or the King of Tanzania. Let me make it clear, know a lot about that nation. The capital is Dar es Salaam. For your information, according to my sister, who loves yoga, respect to Otto Pfister, the coach of Togo. So it goes, coke and hose, Dom Perignon flows. How many shows? Count your toes, my friend. Multiply the number by 10. Respect to Camus, Charles Dance, and Jack from On the Buses. Peace and love to the listeners. Boomy plums, ouch.
That's fairly mystifying.
That's fantastic.
Just a lot of the topics we cover on our show. Yeah. Otto Pfister, coach of Togo. Yep.
Charles Dance
gets a lot of mentions.
And Tony Danza.
Tony Danza.
Which was set up beautifully. So I can see our producer talking to, well, the talent from Shebang. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get Fifi Box in here. Apparently parked in our parking spot.
Is that right?
Then Roo then parked. Whose parking spot you parking?
Andy's, I think, from Hamish and Andy.
Andy from Hamish and Andy.
It's not even on the street.
There's a star-studded road rage incident going on in the car park downstairs as we speak.
The domino effect has been intense.
But we're going to stick around all day. We're all doing the Spoon Man tonight.
Fleety had the 9-iron out, Jack Nicholson style.
Absolutely. I parked in Chad Kruger's car.
He does have one. They keep one spare in case he drops by.
Fleety, I have to bring this up. Were you not involved in a car accident or almost a car accident recently?
I was in that a person that I was supposedly in a romantic relationship with tried to kill me. running me over.
Now tell the story. What was happening? This is a true story.
Yeah, you don't want to fight with the fleet man. That's pretty much what it gets down to, because you'll end up doing something crazy. Having an argument with my partner over a period of, just the usual few weeks. Mm. And things were escalating, which was the word you liked when I was telling the story. Things escalated. But I like to think I cap these situations with some, you know, witty bonhomie. And it didn't happen that way. I'd issued the aforementioned witty statement. Then found myself walking down the street and seeing something over my shoulder going, that car's driving really slowly. And then noticing a complete reversal in the speed of the car, and then it was suddenly travelling really quickly at me. And I jumped up in the air. The only thing I could do is I actually gave it a bit of kind of Miami Vice. I just jumped up in the air because there was nowhere to go, because there was a steel frame on one side of me in a car with a crazy woman coming the other way. So I jumped up in the air, landed on the bonnet. The car smashed into the steel frame.
Wow!
And with leg-breaking force, I'd like to say. And landed on the bonnet, rolled over, and thought two things instantaneously. Thought, you're crazy, and wow, that was hot. So
what happened then?
Hey, that's been a bit of foreplay in the Fleet household. You want to try and get your legs broken by a runaway car.
You want to know what actually happened then? This shows how childish I am. I went, hang on, this isn't your car. I rolled off the bonnet and kicked four of the panels in. When you take it back to whoever owns it, explain what happened.
Wow.
That's what I mean by an escalating dispute.
Yeah, that's escalating.
I believe Monday she's going to fly a light aeroplane into Fleety's house.
Everything's good now. It was just a misunderstanding. Automotive misunderstanding.
Very good. I like to hear that. Now, you mentioned Nickelback in your rap. Mm-hmm. Do you say you met Nickelback? You know somebody who worked with Nickelback?
Same woman. The same woman tried to run over Chad Kruger.
And sadly unsuccessful.
Yeah, I know. No, she actually did the makeup for Nickelback at some film clip they did in Australia.
So she's the one who makes Chad look like the paddle pop lion.
Yeah, exactly. And it was deliberate. She had to spend all day with Nickelback, and she's feeling very very uncomfortable about it. And she did all this stuff, and the drummer had third-degree burns on his face. Because
he used to go out with your ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
Because she went, "What did you call me?" And drove a fuel tank into his head. But no, he used to wear a hat, and they'd have all these pyrotechnics going off. And one day, he didn't have his lucky hat, which apparently wasn't only lucky, but also shielded him from the pyrotechnics. So he had a sort of burnt head, and Chad was being very Chad-like. And they said afterwards, "Look, because you spent the whole day with us, you can come backstage and come out to dinner with us." And she said, "I've got to go. My cat has hair."
So he got burnt because he didn't have his hat on.
Yeah.
Like he didn't have his pants around his knees. Oh.
I bet he did.
That is how it all works. Hey, we're going to go to a song. You know what? If you want to ask, we've got Ed Cavalier, we've got Tony Martin here, we've got Greg Fleet, Roo. If you want to ask any of these boys a question, fire away. 1-2-3-5-3. Here all I have, Snow Patrol. You're listening to Tough Love on Triple M with Mick Molloy, Tony Martin, Greg Fleet, Roo and Ed Cavalier. Okay. It's all because Robin Butler can't be in and she's not easily replaceable.
No, it takes three men in a Robin Butler costume.
Three men and a baby Robin Butler.
And a baby Robin Butler. She's at home in the fetal position, I believe, recovering from a recent trip to Sydney with the Molloy boys. Don't take us on. So, since the full bench is in today, we thought we'll give you a chance to fire in a few questions. John's on the line. How are you, John?
Hey, guys, how you going?
Yeah, pretty good. You got a question for T. Martin, I hear.
Yeah, can Tony please speak like Bob Franklin for the rest of the show?
Yes, I'll certainly give that a go. Bob Franklin impressions. Chan a penny. Went bad at the end. It started well.
It's good. Bob should have his own, like, phone sex line.
I often just call Bob Franklin's phone just to hear his answering machine message, which is, "Get off the line. I'm expecting calls from important people."
Tone, do you remember the first thing he said when he came on our show? I think he was like our sixth guest when we first started. And we said, "Oh, hey, Bob, thanks for coming on Triple M."
And he goes, "Well, you're lucky to get me because I despise commercial radio." And then when one of our callers dropped out, he goes, "It's typical of the contempt Triple M has for its listeners."
That's great. Good man to have on your side when you're going over the trenches.
Crowd pleaser.
Of course, the phone topic this morning when I was on your 100th show, Get This Extravaganza, was a brush with Mick Molloy, which immediately raised my body temperature about 5 degrees. Beads of sweat formed on my forehead. This could go anywhere.
And we went straight to the callers without screening anyone.
That's right.
I noticed it was a distinct physical move. He sort of became taller and more intense.
Well, Ed Cavalier was hand-picking those calls off the computer, and it could be time to turn the tables. Ooh. Daniel's on the line. How are you, Daniel?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You've got an incident involving Ed, do you?
Just his nightclub terrorism scare. Since you've already brought up Andy Lee, he was talking about the same subject, and he forgot to mention the wardrobe malfunction.
Now, this is just the Capsicum nightclub explosion incident in Melbourne on the weekend. Ed was actually there.
I was there, look, and I was there with Andy, or Mr. X, as we call him on our show, and some other friends. And the wardrobe, Andy went for the angle of talking about, you know, the firemen, the terrorism threat, and all that kind of stuff. And I told a story about of a boob that fell out of a dress. And I stand by that. I met one of Andy's friends for the first time after the incident. Her boob was hanging out of her dress, and no one said anything for 5 minutes, so there it sat.
That's fantastic.
And then I went off to try and administer a bit of mouth-to-mouth to the injured. No dice.
I love a guy prepared to take advantage of a woman during a terrorist scare.
Yeah.
Bonus! He who keeps his hand when all around them loses shall get the girl.
With all that capsicum spray in the air, she probably thought no one could see it.
I heard there were supermodels there, and that would constitute a meal for them, wouldn't it? No! They'd have to run to the toilet to throw it up immediately. That would be a good way to get people out of a pub at the end of a night. My favourites are from your homeland, New Zealand, where there's a pub in New Zealand, and I always get it wrong, some of the South Islands, pretty rough.
Right.
And at closing time, just to make sure everyone gets out, the publican has got a foghorn.
Oh, yes.
Off a tanker.
That is a rough pub. That's the Severed Arms in Invercargill.
Well, they just let rip with the foghorn.
A foghorn
off a tanker, and it is unbearable.
A bloke drives a Mark III Zephyr into the front bar and fires off the horn. That would do it.
I like your thinking. Thanks, Daniel. Steve's on the line. Hey, Steve.
How you going, Mick?
Yeah, not too bad. You got a question for the panel?
Yeah, mate. I was watching a DVD of Bad Eggs the other day and saw an interview with a bloke called Warren Purso.
Yes.
And I saw a clip of a movie called Burmagiri Bronze. I wonder if you knew it was out on DVD or...
I'm hoping that I've been in contact with Purso Film Hong Kong and they're hoping to remaster that very soon.
What is the film?
It's a surfing film, an Australian surfing classic, the Burmagui Bronze. I think it's coming out in a twin pack with French Chicks in the Nutty, another Purso original.
It was about striving for bronze,
yeah,
wasn't it?
I think you had a cameo, Mick, didn't
I
you?
Did, but I think Rob Sitch had the funniest lines of it. Yeah. That way. He had like a Booney-style moustache.
That's
on,
right.
And he used to keep banging on about the bloody bronze. The way he
go out and come third like a real Australian.
That's right. And then, thanks for plugging the DVD.
Which is out now.
It is. And still not yet under $10, but give it time.
Yeah, that's when you know you've made it, when it gets to the bargain bin. I see the book that I wrote occasionally seen in secondhand bookshops. And I actually do the voice for the yellow dog in the Home Hardware.
That's true.
And I saw one of those in an op shop the other day, a little effigy of the yellow dog, and I went, I've made it. I've really made it.
You do the yellow dog in the Home Hardware.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to make a big scene of it. I never mention that on TV because I don't want people to see my face if I do it.
There's a bombshell. Yeah. We might have to play bombshells in a minute. Oh, we're going to a break. When we come back, more of our hoo-ha here today. Oh, and I forgot the name of my own
stuff
program.
Love. I think it is Stuff Love. I'm sure it's Stuff Love.
Last time I checked. We're on a road to nowhere. A road to nowhere, funnily enough. Talking Heads. You're listening to Tough Love on Triple M with Mick Molloy, Tony Martin,
yes,
Greg Fleetwood, yeah, and Ed Cavalier. All these people are helping fill the void left by one Robin Butler, who is at home convalescing.
Oh, okay.
Went a bit hard in Sydney, apparently. Yeah. I hope she's not feeling delirious. Do you know, did you ever hear the time she told a story on the show about her erotic dream concerning me?
Really?
Yo.
This isn't something you've just invented.
No, she came in and fessed it up. Oh, funnily enough, I have it here. We were having a very uncomfortable discussion downstairs earlier about a couple of dreams. Get it going. Tell them what.
All right, all right. Now, listen, I don't know if I've had one of these before. Rue, I'm sorry to leave you out of this one. You're probably very grateful, but... Mick and I were at work. Mm. Work was oddly in the front window of a department store like Myers or David Jones.
Yes.
And we weren't doing much work because we were having sex. You and I were having sex.
In the window of a store.
In the front window of a store.
Talk about being grateful.
Yeah. We only stopped because Greg Chappell arrived for his interview. And we suddenly looked at each other and went, oh, God, Greg Chappell's seen us. You know, not to mention the thousands of passers-by. We didn't seem to be worried about them. It was only when Greg Chappell walked in with a clipboard that we went, oh.
You never considered a threesome with Greg Chappell?
It's Greg Chappell. It's Greg Chappell.
I fully understand wanting to have sex with me.
Yeah.
Why is Greg Chappell turning up?
That's what I'm
confused
about.
We've never even spoken to him.
About 2 years ago.
Okay, well, good on you. You've been sitting on that one, have you? Hey, I bet you're hoping that's a recurring dream. The old... with Mickey.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, the Maya Christmas windows this year. It's we're all set.
Yes, I'm Santa's little helper. That's and...
Hello. Here he comes. Big bearded. Oh,
but I thought it was best to get that out of the way.
You can be my ho, ho, ho.
That's a disturbing image. So families in their pyjamas and dressing gowns just watching that in the store window.
I have no control over that woman's subconscious.
Greg Chappell taking score with his clipboard.
That's right.
Doorbuster sex.
I love that. The mother of my child is actually does the Meyer shop windows. I can give her a whole new way of doing it.
If you were doing it, she'd drive a car in the front windows.
I'm totally different woman.
And
yes,
maybe Tony Gregg could come into the Meyer window and stick his key down the crack in my ass.
Chappelli.
Checking for moisture.
Subconscious. I had a dream just the other night, I think I told us, that me and Ron Barassi were driving a train and we'd stop at stations but only pick up women. Yes. And I have no idea what the purpose of that was.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Fleeter, your subconscious is almost as wild as your conscious.
Ron Barassi.
You'd be sitting on something in the dream department?
One of the weirder dreams I had was that I was flying on an inside-out plane.
On an inside-out plane?
Yeah. It was kind of... there's no real punchline to that. An inside-out plane, and then I come in with a zingy punchline. But it was just like a plane that everyone was sitting on the outside of. I was flying it, and I was freaking out that I didn't know how to land it. But not really worrying about the fact that people were, like, zipping off the side
of the side. It's like one of those trains you see in India.
It's
like Indian Airways.
Yes. Maybe it wasn't an inside-out plane. Maybe I just couldn't afford a ticket and I just jumped on it.
I once had a dream that made sense. You know how you don't often have dreams that make sense?
Sure.
I had one that I was living on a farm and me and my dad really liked eating steak. But then my sister came home and she'd joined a religion where, you know, there's a respect for cows.
Sure.
So you're not allowed to eat cows unless they've been killed accidentally. So me and my dad staged a number of cow suicides. There was a cow in a bath and we had to push a toaster in so that it looked like the cow had killed itself so we could eat steak.
Oh, this is a tragedy.
That was a dream.
No! Why this cow?
Yeah. I told you not to dry your hair in there.
You've had a dream, surely.
Well, the only dream I had involving you recently was you dancing around in Harlequin tights to the 1901, what's the overture, you know, with all the cannons?
1812.
Yeah, the 1812 overture.
Isn't that in the trailer for Boytown?
But the Harlequin tights are...
Yeah. Not a good look. A little revealing.
Don't ever wear them.
A little Lord of the Dance, maybe. Ed, come on.
I basically dream of Tony Martin's voice because before I go to bed most nights, 10:30, 11, the phone rings and it's Tone to play me the 3 hours of stuff that he's recorded into his tape recorder that night.
Nick knows that feeling.
Yeah, I wake up in the middle of the night screaming names for planets the next day.
Sometimes, though, it's not actually, you're not actually dreaming his voice. You're standing outside the window.
Listen, Rex Hunt said something. I've recorded 4 hours of dialogue for it.
I think this could be a break too.
Oh, we broke the record the other day on Tony's show. We're going 11 minutes for a break.
11:04, and then Russell Gilbert came in the next day and we went 11:56. So the record, so the challenge is out there, Greg.
Oh,
you guys have gone bad.
It lasted a day.
Stream of consciousness.
We were trying to keep talking as long as possible so we didn't have to play Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
That was the plan. Push it into the next show.
We're just reading out the phone book at one point.
Well, we've got some Billy Joel coming up. It's still rock and roll to me, but if we talk long enough, we might be able to fend it off. In the meantime, if you want to speak to Tony, Fleety, Ed, Rue, or myself, give us a call, 1-333-53-MMM. Everything I'm Not, the Veronicas.
Ugh.
I've said it before, I want to know how many there are. Are they hunting in packs? Do you round them up?
They're downsizing at the Veronicas.
You should have seen the mad rush for headphones that just occurred. Five blokes kicking back, chatting. Oh, panic.
That's right. There's a show to do.
I'll tell you what. By the way, it's Tough Love, and I'm joined today by Tony Martin, Greg Fleet, Rue, of course, and Ed Cavalli. Yep. In Robin Butler's absence. Speaking of shows, do you remember you and me going to see Fleety?
Yes.
At the Comedy Club years ago. In a show called Sheer... Madness.
Oh, now this was like some camp hairdresser.
Fleety clearly remembers it.
It was basically Fleety doing John Inman from Are You Being Served, wasn't it?
Who was the hairdresser? You were the cop, were you not?
I was like cop too, like delivery man too in Prisoner, who I once played, as everyone knows. I was the kind of the second cop. But it was about a hairdresser. Reese Muldoon was the hairdresser, and it was called Sheer Madness. The thing that makes me still squirm is it was spelled S-H-E-A-R.
Madness.
Scissor Sisters, man.
You're inches away from Theatre Restaurant there.
Oh, yeah.
What I loved when we went along to see it was, because you were fantastic, by the way.
Oh, brilliant.
You were great. But you were a very officious cop, and you had your pencil out, you know, the little cop pad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going, he's really researched this. And about halfway, I said, Tane, I reckon he's reading his lines off that pad.
Lines from the pad.
I reckon he's reading his lines off that pad. He is. Fleet, we're on to you.
I wasn't just reading lines off the pad, let me tell you.
Now, And when Greg says he was delivery man too in an episode of Prisoner, that's not a joke.
What was that? Talk us through that.
Just a career highlight, pretty much, Nick. And, you know, you can make your films, you can make your cracker jack, you can dream, my friend. But delivery man 2 in Prisoner, pretty sensational. We've yet to track down delivery man 1. Yeah,
the guy who played delivery man 1, didn't he take you aside?
Oh, yeah, he took me aside and he said, we went to the jail, we had to take a robot the prisoners had made to some school. And, of course, there was a prisoner hiding in the robot who escaped, right? But we had to lift this robot up. That's all we did. We had, like, 2 lines each. And at one stage, the guy who was this old, not terribly talented, bitter actor, took me aside and went, and I was, like, 19 or something. He took me aside and went, listen, mate, if you look at the script, I think you'll find I'm delivery man 1. You're delivery man 2. There's a pecking order.
Yeah, get to the back of the food queue.
Yeah. I think you'll find this is as good as it gets for you, old man. I'm on my way up. See ya.
Fantastic.
You're never going to be on Tough Love, unless he actually rings in.
Well, I did do a film with Laura Branigan.
That's true.
Must be mentioned. What was it called? It was
Backstage.
Oh. Right. Mm. I don't think I was in it when the film came out, but that was my first... toe in the water for the film caper.
Were you in a crowd scene though? What, you just like amongst like about 300 other people in a crowd scene?
Yeah, you should have seen what I was up to. Yeah. It was unbelievable. I was just playing with my cravat the whole time. I created a bit of business.
Because the Laura Branigan fans love cravats and evening wear.
Was that the one that Mr. Kelly from Hey Dad was in? Was it the ABBA film?
Yeah, he was in ABBA the movie, Mr. Kelly.
He was like their manager.
ABBA the movie was made in Australia. Really? Mr. Kelly was the main character.
And Nudge played Bjorn.
I'll be on.
What was your first film role, Tony Martin? What was your first...
I reckon it was in The Castle.
It was in The Castle.
When I'm just standing up the back, and I've said this a million times, but apparently lip readers tell me I'm asking Eric Banner why his TV show got axed. Which I think I actually was
lip
doing.
Readers.
Lip readers.
It's all fantastic fun. What we did the other day, we were asking people, because we played Devo, of course, and I...
What happened? What happened?
I was the first... Turns out that Rosie's ex-boyfriend used to be in a cover band called Devo.
Did they wear the hats?
Hats and everything, and they're playing again soon.
Right. Did they keep the hats on in the boudoir?
I know the man in question. Ding, 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 ding. I do know the man in question. I've seen said band.
Yeah. Are they good?
Yeah, and they do keep the hats on in the bedroom tonight.
And of course, I think it was the first band you ever went and saw, because that's why I said it. Devo was the first live band I went and saw.
Madness. I saw Madness
in Madness?
Auckland. Yeah.
We went out with her mum in London. Suggs. We went out with Suggs's mum.
Right.
Suggs's mum in London at the French House, which was the place we were drinking at the time.
How did you meet Suggs's mum? Yeah.
She was sitting in the bar at the French House.
And you just went, you're Suggs's mum.
that's how she gets introduced to you.
And we went on a bit of a pub crawl with Suggs's mum. Well, Madness would have been great.
And did you all get, like, in step with each other.
Yeah, she got a bit sick of that afterwards. I'll bet. Fleety, first bet live band performance?
I feel a little bit weird about this, Neil Diamond.
Good Lord!
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's not bad. It's better than having seen him just recently.
Exactly.
2 Back hours then, of swishy pants.
And I did actually see him on a hot August night. Well, it probably was hot on the other side of the world. Oh. Because it would be cold here.
I think Russell Gilbert dragged us along to... He got us free Neil Diamond tickets. And he did a medley of stuff from Hot August Night, and then he announced tracks from the new album Lovescape. And there was just a stampede for the bar at that point. And he's then announced he's doing... the song was called Heading for the Future. Yeah. And Heading for the Future was just him in, like, sort of swishy Las Vegas pants, a couple of big blokes oiled up, standing in front of, like, giant cogs with, like, industrial stamp metal stamp noises. We're going to take a big ride.
You know all the words.
He went all Depeche Mode on us at the last minute.
It was a very swishy Las Vegas-y Depeche Mode.
Billy Joel, Stormfront Tour.
Billy Joel, Stormfront!
Same as Richard, our producer.
Same, really? He sounds like a cue for the Joelster.
Oh, no!
This is for Ed Cavalier.
Take it back. the memories.
Righto, Cavalier. He danced non-stop through that.
Not only but danced weeping.
It was quite disturbing. It's still rock and roll to me. Billy Joel. You're listening to Tough Love, people, and we're just about done and dusted for another day. We're exhausted.
Yeah. Let's, it's been a tough day.
Shall we just pop the towels on and head down the steam room, gentlemen, like we normally do, winding down after a tough hour of Tough Love? Thank you, Tony Martin, for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mick.
Thank you for having me on the show this morning. Get this, 100 shows.
And I understand that show from this morning is going to be podcast for tonight.
Oh, that's right. Fantastic news. Can I also point out that people rang up the woman at reception accusing you of pre-recording that show? Because she believed there was no way I'd be up at that hour.
That is outrageous. We've not done any pre-records.
Mick's always up at that hour. He doesn't go to bed till about 11 a.m.
I'm on my way home.
Straight through.
Greg Fleet, thank you very much for coming in. It's been illuminating. We could talk to you for hours.
Thank you very much for having me and for just having this magazine here that has the article, A Polar Bear Ate My Head. That's made the whole thing worthwhile.
That's Zoo Weekly. And watch out, Roo will stab you if you leave the studio. That's his Bible.
Some nice injuries.
Ed Cavalier, try and get some sleep tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Get Tony off the phone before about 1. Generally, I find...
I just put on a recording. Oh, real tone. Yeah, great. Yeah, look forward to it, Tony.
I suspected that was happening. Thank you, Roo. Thank you, everybody. And thank you to the Toyota Hilux. Get in or get out of the way, as Fleety's girlfriend says to him sometimes, as she tries to kill him. We should get her a Toyota Hilux.
What we didn't say on air is that she's still Fleety's girlfriend.
Yeah, but the spice has gone out of the relationship. No more death threats, no more attempts on each other's lives. We're just settling down and getting old.
You two have lost it.
Yeah, I know.
We've become domesticated or something.
It used to be about the car crash.
Yeah. Sure, she's poisoning you slowly with arsenic, but doesn't have the same pep as trying to run you over as you walk down the street.
No one can poison me as quickly as I can.
And I might join you for a quick poison down the front bar immediately after the show. Thank you, Linesman. Thank you, Ball Boys. We'll be back, hopefully, with Robin Butler. Get well soon, toots. Tomorrow. Cheers.